Good morning, my friends. This morning, we're going to be talking about mocking God. We're going to look at ways in which we mock God. And our scripture is, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Galatians 6, verse 7. Now let us pray and seek God's guidance as we study. Dearest Father in heaven, please open our minds and our eyes as we study thy word, and please give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, because we ask it in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. If the past has taught us anything, it is that every cause brings its effect. Every action has a consequence. The Chinese have a saying, if a man plants melons, he will reap melons. If he sows beans, he will reap beans. And this is true of everyone's life. Good begets good, and evil leads to evil. True enough, the sun shines on the saint and the sinner alike, and too often it seems that the wicked prosper. But we can say with certainty that with the individual, as with the nation, the flourishing of the wicked is an illusion, for unceasingly, life keeps books on us all. In the end, we are all the sum total of our actions. Character cannot be counterfeited, nor can it put on and cast off as if it were a garment to meet the whim of the moment. Like the markings on wood, which are ingrained in the very heart of a tree, character requires time and nurturing for growth and development. Thus also, day by day, we write our own destiny, for inevitably, we become what we do. We reap in the same kind that we sow. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we are also familiar with this in nature. If we sow in our flower pots marigold seed, marigold plants will come up. If we sow corn in our fields, wheat will not grow up. If we sow collards, there will not grow up tomatoes. Likewise, we reap in our characters what we sow. The character of our actions determines the results they produce in our nature. We are only irreligious as we have acted irreligious. We are only Christ-like as we have cultivated Christ-like habits. Wisdom does not spring from the same kind of seed as zeal, nor gentleness from the same kind of seed as courage. Whatever fruit we want to grow, we must sow that type of seed. Let us not then be deceived, for God is not mocked. Let us not think that we can sow unkindness and reap kindness, that we can sow stinginess and reap generosity. The kind that we sow in our actions, and none other, determines what we reap. Now, there are many kinds of seeds in nature, but there is one essential distinction between them. There are seeds of plants which are deadly and poisonous, which we seek only to eliminate. And there are seeds of plants which are useful and which we seek to cultivate. Sowing to the flesh is doing what is right in our own eyes and acting without regard to the will of God. It is like sowing the seeds of poisonous weeds in the soil of our hearts. Sowing to the Holy Spirit is what is called in the Old Testament sowing in righteousness, which is doing what is right before God. It is like sowing the seeds of useful grains or of beautiful flowers in the soil of our hearts. If we are sowing to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption, and we know what corruption is. Let us not, then, be deceived. God is not mocked. Let us not think that we can break God's laws with impunity. Let us not think that we can sin and have the freshness and beauty of holiness. It is impossible. Let us not be deceived. God is not mocked. I just read something that was sort of funny that illustrated this. Late one summer evening in Broken Bow, Nebraska, a weary truck driver stopped. The waitress had just served him when three tough-looking leather-jacketed motorcyclists of the Hell's Angels type decided to give him a hard time. Not only did they verbally abuse him, one grabbed a hamburger off his plate, another took a handful of his French fries, and a third picked up his coffee and began to drink it. How would you respond? Well, this trucker did not respond as one might expect. Instead, he calmly rose, picked up his check, walked to the front of the room, put the check and his money on the cash register, and went out the door. The waitress followed him to put the money in the till and stood watching out the door as a big truck drove away that night. When she returned, one of the bikers said to her, "Well, he's not much of a man, is he?" She replied, "I don't know about that, but he sure isn't much of a truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles on his way out of the parking lot." Friends, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit he will reap eternal life. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Now the principle is, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You will reap a harvest of whatever you sow. If you sow a peach seed, you will harvest peaches. If you sow an apple seed, you will reap a harvest of apples. If you sow evil, you will reap evil. If you sow good, you will reap good. You will grow in your character whatever it is that you sow. You will harvest the fruit of what you plant. Someone once said, "You sow a thought and you reap a deed. You sow a deed and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny." Oh, friends, there will be a lot of people who will excuse themselves from being doers of God's word and hearers only. They make a big show of religion. They may deceive others and even themselves if they think they can deceive God, who knows their hearts and their actions, and since he cannot be deceived, he certainly will not be mocked. My dear friends, today is a day to sow seed. We may only have a short time left here on this earth, but the time we have is meant for us to sow good seed. However, the things happening in your life today are the results of what seed you have sown in the past. You are reaping the harvest of what you sowed a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, even years ago. Remember, my friends, what will happen in the future will be determined by what you sow into your life today. If you want to change your future, then you need to change what you're sowing today. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. What you reap is in direct proportion to what you sow. If you sow one seed, you cannot expect to grow six trees. You may have multiple fruit, but not multiple trees. If you sow a little evil, you reap a little evil. If you sow a lot of evil, you will reap a lot of evil. God will not be mocked. Let's look at what you reap when you sow to the sinful nature. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Those who live a carnal, sensual life, instead of devoting themselves to the honor of God and the good of others, must not expect any other fruit than corruption and destruction. These folk live only for a temporary, short-lived satisfaction of the present, and they will reap the ruin and misery at the end of it. The Apostle Paul warns the Corinthians, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Those who only sow to their flesh on earth cannot expect to reap a spiritual prize in heaven. Now, let's look at Luke 6, verses 41 and 42, where it says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now this refers to those who are not graceful themselves, but are quick to find disgrace in others. They seem to be unaware of their own faults, but have no problem finding faults in others. It's absurd for anyone to pretend to be so wise as to see the smallest faults in others, like a speck or a mote, when their own heart is so perfectly hardened and so past feeling that they themselves cannot understand that there is something as large as a beam in their own eye. You see, the heart is a tree, and the words and actions are the fruit. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it restates that by their fruit you may know them. You know them by what they say and how they say it, and by what they do and how they do it. You cannot expect any good from those who have a bad character. Those who will not rebuke themselves are not really fit to rebuke others. If you sow judgment, you will reap judgment. God will not be mocked. Matthew 7:2 says, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." My friends, you will reap what you sow. If you sow judgment of others, you will reap judgment for yourself. Hopefully, during this life, because I personally would hate to reap judgment at the end. If you sow condemnation, you will reap it. And if you sow judgment, you will also reap it. But the opposite side is also true. The one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit will reap eternal life. In a country where getting and having more seems so normal, people who choose to live with a lot less so they can help others seems, to put it mildly, a little wacky to some. Generosity is good, but it is perfect when it is done in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, we also experience grace from God when we show grace to others. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. When we sow grace by forgiving others, we are giving them something they don't deserve, and we will reap a harvest of the forgiveness from God. When we give to others, it will be given back to us. The Bible says, "Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Give, and it will be given to you. We say, God, forgive me of my sins against you as I forgive those who sin against me. It is so amazing. One seed of forgiveness can grow so much fruit. Sowing one seed of love can reap so much good. Imagine sowing so many of them constantly, you can't keep count of them. That's what God wants us to do. Jesus told us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Notice now, we ask for ourselves in proportion to what we give to others. We ask God to forgive us our wrongs, even if we don't deserve it, just as we forgave others their wrongs, even though they might not deserve it. In the same way, when we sow the grace of giving to others, we will reap a harvest of gifts from God. If you sow love, you will reap love. If you don't reap love on earth, then you definitely will reap it in heaven. My friends, to mock God is to disrespect, dishonor, or ignore Him. It is a serious offense committed by those who have no fear of God or who deny His existence. The most easily recognized form of mockery is disrespect, typified by verbal insults or other acts of disdain. It is associated with ridicule, scoffing, and defiance. Mockery is a dishonoring attitude that shows low estimation, contempt, or even open hostility. In the Bible, mockery is a behavior, an attitude shown by the fool, Psalm 74:22. It's shown by the wicked, Psalm 1 verse 1. It's shown by the enemy, Psalm 74 verse 10. It's shown by the hater of knowledge, Proverbs 1 verse 22 and Proverbs 13 verse 1. It's shown by the proud, Psalm 119 verse 51 and Isaiah 37 verse 17. And it's also shown by the unteachable in Proverbs 15 verse 12. You see, a mocker goes beyond a mere lack of judgment to making a conscious decision for evil. Mockers are without a spirit of obedience. They're without teachability. They're without discernment. They're without wisdom. And they're without worship or faith. Those who mock God will mock the people of God as well. The prophet Jeremiah became the laughingstock of all his people and was mocked in song all day long, Lamentations 3:14. Mockery of God's prophets was commonplace, 2 Chronicles 36:16. The prophet Nehemiah was mocked by his enemies, Nehemiah 2:19. The prophet Elisha was mocked by the young men of Bethel, 2 Kings 2:23. And of course, our Lord Jesus was mocked by Herod and his soldiers, Luke 23:11. He was mocked by the Roman soldiers, Mark 15 verse 20 and Luke 23 verse 36. He was also mocked by a thief on the cross, Luke 23:39, and by the Jewish leaders who passed by the cross, Matthew 27 verse 41. My friends, it is easy for us as believers to point the finger at those outside the church who mock God. But the most subtle mockery of God and the most dangerous comes from those of us sitting in church. We are guilty of mockery when we behave with an outward show of spirituality or godliness without an inward change of heart. God warns that mockery of what is holy will be punished, as we see from the following. Zephaniah predicted the downfall of Moab and Ammon, saying, this is what they will get in return for their pride, for insulting and mocking the people of the Lord Almighty. Zephaniah 2 verse 10. Isaiah 28, verse 22 warns that mockery will cause the chains of Judah's sin to become stronger, and that destruction will follow. Proverbs 3, verse 34 states that God will mock the mocker, but give favor to the humble and the oppressed. And 2 Kings 2:24 records the punishment that befell the young man who jeered Elisha. Friends, this is what God is not mocked means. There are repercussions for ignoring God's directives and willfully choosing sin. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God and brought sorrow and death into the world. Genesis 2:15 through 17 and Genesis 3 verse 6 and 24. Ananias and Sapphira's deception brought about a swift and public judgment. Acts 5 verse 1 through 11. And Galatians 6 verse 7 states a universal principle. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So, just what does it mean to mock God? Is that something you or I might do? Well, let's look at a few things concerning the statement, God is not mocked. The only time that God was actually mocked, and I mean it was literally done, was when Jesus was at his illegal trial, during his scourging by the Romans, and when he hung on the cross. Jesus tried telling his disciples that they will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, Matthew 20, verse 19. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him and did just that, Romans 27, 27. As the Romans had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him, Matthew 27, verse 31. And in the worst and most humiliating fashion, while Jesus hung in agony on the cross, so in the same way the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and taunting him by saying, "Let him now come down from the cross, and we will then believe in him." Matthew 27, verse 42. Thankfully, Jesus did not come down from the cross, or you and I would be all eternally lost. Can we mock God? Well, I believe we do mock God by our irreverence in the church service, by our talking and visiting, and how we treat the Word of God. Also, of distasteful jokes, or showing disrespecting it as a curse word. And we can mock him by our negligence of him and his word. We can mock God by disregarding anything that is holy. We can all mock God by the way we live and speak. But another way God can be mocked is when others mock you for following God's commandments. We can be mocked like Christ was, and the apostles were, and the prophets before them. Jeremiah became the laughingstock of his own people, Lamentations 3:14. And you might become a laughingstock of your family or of your workplace if you love God, keep His commandments, which includes the seventh-day Sabbath. Years ago, if I recall correctly, someone told me after I trusted in Christ that I had been brainwashed. Yes, my friends, my brain needed washing, of course, but more so, my life needed cleansing, and I received it from the blood of the Lamb of God. Before I gave my heart to Jesus, I was only storing up God's wrath, and I was going to reap the fierce wrath of God's judgment either after death, Hebrews 9:27, or at Christ's appearance. But thankfully, He brought me to repentance and faith, and so hopefully, I mock God no longer. Now here are some other ways in which we can mock God. When we disbelieve in His promises, we mock God. When we break the Sabbath, we mock God. When we neglect to study His Word and practice His counsel, we mock God. When we break our baptismal vows, we mock God. How many have taken the vows before baptism and sometime later gone back on the vows that they had promised the Lord they would obey? Many times I've seen people put their jewelry back on, forgetting their vow to the Lord Jesus. People do not realize how awfully dangerous it is to break your vow to God. And what about the food we eat? What we drink? How many have broken their vows by slipping back into drinking beverages that hurt their health? God's temple. We are mocking God by knowingly destroying our body temple. We are mocking God when we rob Him of our tithes and offerings. We mock God when we fail to obey God's will. We mock God when we engage in selfish pleasure. And we also mock God when we pray prayers that contain vain and unmeaning requests. We mock God when disobeying His Ten Commandments, and we also mock God by doubting His promises. Friends, there are serious consequences for mocking God. Now here are a few examples of this. There were 13 kings in the Bible that mocked God through their pride, and they were punished with devastating consequences, both physically and spiritually. A group of young men were mauled by a bear for mocking one of God's prophets, 2 Kings 2, verse 23 and 24. And I could go on and on, but I think I have said enough on that. I believe that you understand what mocking God is all about. Now, my friends, here is the good news. If you are afraid that you have mocked God, there is always time to confess it and come for a cleansing. 1 John 1 verse 9. No sin is too great that God will not forgive. And once we have trusted in Christ, God sees us as having Jesus' own righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And all our sins are forgiven and are taken away. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you don't want to mock God, live consistently within biblical teachings. Speak reverently about the things of God. Sow seeds of the Holy Spirit so that you will reap spiritual harvests. And by all means, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, this they will also reap. Galatians 6, verse 7. Every day, in every part of the world, there are people who mock God. Many go out of their way to blaspheme, to ridicule, and to shake their fist at their Creator. The amount of mockery is disheartening, and its audacity is often breathtaking. God sees all this, and surely He could do something about it. So why does He allow it to continue on and on? Well, my friends, God created us, all mankind, with free will. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, friends, the Almighty God created us for His glory and pleasure, and what greater pleasure could there be than being loved by someone willingly and joyously and without being forced to love? God did not create mindless robots that would simply do His bidding. He wanted children similar to the way that human parents want children, not as servants, but as thinking individuals, complete with their own quirks and personalities. God wanted fellowship with us. He wants a relationship with us. True, genuine love is voluntary. And because God created human beings this way, He chose to give us free will. And because He wants us to love Him, we have the free will to disobey Him. We have the free will to blaspheme Him. And yes, we even have the free will to mock Him. But we are warned in Galatians 6:7 that God will not always be mocked. The blasphemy and derision are temporary. There will be a day of reckoning. And ultimately, a person reaps what they sow. My friends, we have the ability to choose good or evil, right or wrong. God also gave us a solution, a way out of sin and into eternal life. Jesus Christ has provided the means of restoring a loving relationship with God through his sacrifice on the cross. What more could he have done to show us how much he loves us? Let us pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, you have given us so many good things because you love us. The greatest gift we have been given is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how thankful we are that he gave us his life to ransom us from the condemnation of our sins. Forgive us for the times we have mocked your love and compassion. Thank you for your grace that has been so freely given us. May we never, ever mock your great love by our disobedience. For we ask this in the precious name of Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Savior. Amen.